I invite you this morning to take your Bibles and join me in turning to the Gospel of John, the third chapter. Very familiar two verses, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, of course, probably being the most familiar verse in the Bible to many of us. As Pastor Greg prayed, I hope that familiarity will not cause you from truly focusing on God's Word this morning, hearing what He has to say to us through His Word. 25 years ago in Kansas City, a fellow who pulled himself up from rags to become extremely wealthy began a tradition that kind of spread throughout the country. It's called Secret Santa. And he would go around giving out $100 bills to total strangers, gave away thousands of dollars in that manner. And it caught on and spread, as I said, to different parts of the country. This year, and for the last several years, a couple in Detroit have done the same thing. And so far this year, in one day, giving out $100 bills, they gave out $17,000. To total strangers, starting in areas of need, people that they knew were down and out, going to missions and places like that. Well, the newest trend is what's called layaway Santa. Have you heard of that? Now, you've probably heard stories or read of something. It's where people totally anonymously will go to Walmart, Kmart, stores like that that have these layaway programs where you put something aside and you pay on it over a period of time and then you have to get it out sometime before Christmas or it goes back on the shelves. And these strangers will just go in and totally pay off what's owed on these layaway plans for these people. And thousands of dollars. In fact, Walmart so far this year has tracked over 1,000 accounts that have been paid off nationally by some of these secret layaway Santas. It's amazing. One fellow in California in particular, each year totals up the receipts that of these layaway charges that he has paid off and gives them to his wife in December as her birthday present. Her birthday is in December. 2 years ago, it was over 200 accounts that he paid off. Last year, it was over 300 accounts that he paid off. No matter what you may think about the giving and buying commercialism of Christmas time, you know, the spirit of that is just something that's inspirational. It's something that kind of is encouraging. But it does raise the question, at least for me, why? Why do people do that? Or better yet, why do we give at Christmas? Why not, you know, at New Year's Day? Why not Super Bowl Sunday? Why is it that Christmas time is the season for giving? Because we're all, I assume, going to be giving and receiving at Christmas. Why is that? Not a rhetorical question, all right? It's because of what God did, right? We give because God gives. The whole idea of giving gifts at Christmas time comes from God's gift to the world of His Son at the first Christmas. Which raises a couple of points to me. The first is this. No matter how much the world tries to get rid of God and Christ at Christmas time, they can't really totally get away from it, right? The traditions that we have, so many of them are rooted in biblical truth, in the work and acts of God on our behalf. And not only that, not only can the world not get away from Christ or God at Christmas, but it gives us an opportunity for the gospel. It gives us an opportunity to say, why are you giving? Why would you do that? Do you know where the idea of giving comes from? And it's a natural opportunity, if we will take it, to share the gospel of Christ. I'm going to have more to say about that at the end. But the second point that it raises is that Christmas especially gives us as the people of God the opportunity to remind ourselves how God gives and how we can be more like Him in the way He gives. So we want to look this morning at John 3, 16 and 17 and see, how does God give? How has God given and how does He give? We're going to look at five ways that God gives, or five things about God's giving. Unless you think that's a lot of points, I had seven or eight to start with, so be grateful. First of all, God gives personally. I'm going to give you the points and then we'll come back. Secondly, God gives plentifully. He gives personally, He gives plentifully. Third, He gives provisionally. Provisionally or conditionally. But conditionally doesn't start with a P. Four, He gives purposefully. Purposefully. And fifth, He gives perpetually. Personally, plentifully, provisionally, purposefully, perpetually. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Let's pray again. Father, what a gift You have given to us in Your Word. Lord, apart from Your Word, we would not know You. We would not know what You're like. We would not know Your will. We would not know Your ways. We would not know Christ. We would not know Your great salvation. We would not have changed lives for time and for eternity apart from Your revelation of Yourself through Your Word. So, Father, we thank You for this book, for the Bible, for Your Word. And we thank You for these verses that teach us, that remind us that You are a giving God. And supremely You have given to us Yourself through Your Son, Jesus. Father, help us to hear, to have ears, spiritual ears to hear Your Word to us this morning, and eyes to see, and hearts and lives to respond in faith and obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, God gives personally. That is, He gives of Himself. He gives Himself, so for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God gave Himself in the person of His Son. Can you get any more personal than that? Can you get any more personal than to give of yourself in your offspring? Your Son. God the Father gave God the Son to the world in order that we might be saved. God is a giving God. James tells us in James 1 that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6 that God gives all things richly for us to enjoy. That God is a great giver. Jesus taught us that God delights to give good things to His children when we ask Him. God is a God of abundance, and God is a God who delights to give. He created the world. He provides for everything that we need. Jesus said, "Why do you worry about food and clothing? Your Father feeds the birds of the air. He clothes the grass of the field. Will He not much more take care of you?" But His greatest gift is not the food that we eat, not the clothes that we wear, not even the air that we breathe. The greatest gift, it's not your health, folks, as important as that is. God's greatest gift is Himself. It's Himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. It isn't even just the benefits of salvation. It is God himself in Christ. To think that we can have intimate fellowship with him, that we can be indwelt by God, by his Holy Spirit. God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us and to us and through us to the world. But God gave himself in the person of his son, but God also gave exactly what we needed. You know, we do a lot of giving at Christmas, and I'm all for giving at Christmas. All right. No, I'm not a Scrooge, but I do think sometimes there's a little excess. And sometimes, you know, when you really have to think, what can I give this person? Maybe we need to take another look at that. Think about that a little bit more. God didn't have to wonder, what can I give? He knew exactly what we needed, and he gave exactly what we needed. God knew that we needed a Savior. God knew that we needed forgiveness. God knew that we needed to be rescued from perishing, because that is where we were headed. Not annihilation, but separation from the love of God, from fellowship with God for all eternity. Eternal punishment for our sins. Now, there's a lot of emphasis in the commercials and everything on giving just the right gift. But the thing is, the world doesn't really have much of a clue about what the right gift is. God gave exactly what we needed. He gave himself, and he gave himself in such a way as to provide our greatest need. That's why some of us, and it's not original with any of us, when you ask us how we're doing, the reply is, better than I deserve. You know why? Because no matter what else happens, my greatest need has been met. No matter what else happens, I'm not in hell and I'm not headed to hell. I'm doing better than I deserve. God gave and God gives personally. But not only does God give personally, God gives plentifully. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I'm grateful for people who out of their wealth, out of their blessings, share that with others. Like these Secret Santas and others who will give to help meet people's needs. But here's the reality. Everyone's resources are limited. All right? Even this couple that gave away $17,000 in one day, and I assume that's out of their excess. All right. But you know what? They don't have unlimited resources. Our government thinks they have, but they don't have unlimited resources, right? That's why we're $17 trillion in debt or whatever it is. No one has unlimited resources except God. So that there is no lack of grace in God. There is no lack of provision for salvation in God. There is, you know, if one person gets blessed, that doesn't mean that somebody else is not going to be able to get blessed because somebody took that blessing. That's not the way it works. The scripture says that God gives forgiveness and life and hope and peace and joy to all who will believe in Christ. There is no limitation in God in terms of his ability to give. He gives plentifully. In Isaiah 55, we read this. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? The Lord speaking through Isaiah to talk about spiritual food and spiritual drink. Why do you go for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, but abundantly pardon. God gives plentifully. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All who labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And in Romans 10, 13, we read that everyone, it's only written once, but I want to emphasize, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. God gives plentifully. No one need ever fear that God will run out of mercy, that God will run out of grace, that God will run out of forgiveness to those who come to him through Christ. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But then thirdly, God gives provisionally. There is a condition. There's a condition. It's not about anything we have to do. It is about what we have to believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Although God's gift of salvation is plentiful, that is, there's enough for all, it is provisional. It's conditional. You must believe in the Son. Biblically, to believe in Christ involves more than mere mental agreement about who he is. It's more than just mouthing words. It's more than even making a profession of faith. Now, certainly, it involves that. But it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of trusting in Christ, turning from sin and from self, and putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering to him as Lord. It has been rightly said that believing in Christ involves committing your life to him. The reason we must believe in Christ, trust in Christ, is that no matter how good we may think we are or try to be, we are by nature and by choice sinners. And our sin has earned us judgment. God is a loving, providing creator and king who made the world and all in it, and specifically made mankind in his image to obey him and to reflect him, to display his glory. Instead of living in loving obedience to God, we all, like wayward sheep, have gone our own way, saying to God, in effect, I'll do it my way. This choice results in all the evil that we see in the world. Mankind's choice to be his own boss, to do our own thing, to go our own way, is what has brought sin and evil into the world. And that evil demands justice. The just thing for God to do would be to sentence us to eternal punishment. That's what it means to perish. There is no annihilation. There is no ceasing to exist when you die. Perishing means eternal punishment under the wrath of God. Instead of giving us what we deserve, what we have earned, God in mercy and grace sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to live the obedient life that we fail to live. And as the Son of God, he died on a cross and took the punishment that we deserved. But God raised him from the dead, showing that he accepted Christ's sacrifice as payment and making it possible for us to be raised from spiritual death. Now, God calls for us to believe in Christ. That is, to turn from going our own way, sin, and put our trust in what God has done for us in Christ. We then profess through baptism that we are followers of Jesus and we commit to follow him forever. However, if we choose not to believe in Christ, to trust in Christ, then God will let us have what we want. for all eternity. That is, going our own way and receiving the just consequence of that, an eternity of punishment. So the choice is yours. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Have you recognized and acknowledged, confessed that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Have you turned from being the boss of your life and put your trust in Christ, surrendered to His Lordship? Because just as sure as I am standing here, or more sure than that, there is eternity coming. And it will be here before you know it. We are not promised tomorrow. Your life is a vapor that appears for a while and vanishes away. Don't delay. Some of you have heard the gospel again and again, and you still refuse to trust in Christ. Put your trust in Jesus today, right where you're sitting. Call out to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I put my trust in You. I turn from my sin. And I trust You as Savior, Lord of my life. Thank You for forgiving me. Thank You for receiving me into Your heart. God gives abundantly, plentifully, but provisionally. You must trust in Christ. God also gives purposefully. Purposefully. We've already touched on this. God sent Jesus on a rescue mission. I've already talked about that, so I'm not going to go into great detail about that again. But the purpose of Jesus coming was to undo what was done in the fall. Now, that includes, of course, forgiving us from sin, cleansing us, giving us a home in heaven. But it also includes restoring the image of God to us more fully. Because when we sin, that image was marred. Now, it was not obliterated, but it was marred. So that we no longer reflect God truly. We're no longer an accurate and adequate reflection of the God who made us in His image. And so, a major part, consequence of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and being raised from the dead and bringing us to Himself and giving us new life in Christ, is that He begins this process of making us like Jesus. This is what Paul writes in Romans 8, 28 and 29. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And what is that purpose? For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. In other words, the Lord's purpose was not just to take you from hell to heaven, although that's a big part of it. And I don't want to minimize that, but it's also to get heaven into you. To make you and me like Christ. That's part of why God gave Jesus, why Jesus came. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read this. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are becoming like Christ. That is God's purpose. His purpose is to save us, not just from sin's penalty, but also from sin's power, and ultimately from sin's presence. Now, this is something we need to understand. This is why we suffer. Really, this is why we suffer. The gift of following Christ and growing in Christ-likeness is also the gift of being identified with Him and suffering with Him. Jesus does not promise a life of health, wealth, and prosperity. Not in this life. Listen to these words from the 19th century English Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. This was in his morning and evening devotional. He starts out by quoting John 16:33. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Why do we have tribulation? Are you asking the reason of this, believer? Look upward to your heavenly Father and behold him pure and holy. Do you know that you are one day to be like him? Will you easily be conformed to his image? Will you not require much refining in the furnace of affliction to purify you? Will it be an easy thing to get rid of your corruptions and make you perfect even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect? Next, Christian, turn your eye downward. Do you know what foes you have beneath your feet? You were once a servant of Satan, and no king will willingly lose his subjects. Do you think that Satan will let you alone? No, he will always be at you, for he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Expect trouble, therefore, Christian, and when you look beneath you, then look around you. Where are you? You're an enemy's country, a stranger and a sojourner. The world is not your friend. If it be so, then you are not God's friend, for he who is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Be assured that you shall find foe men everywhere. When you sleep, think not that you are resting on the battlefield. When you walk, suspect an ambush in every hedge. As mosquitoes are said to bite strangers more than natives, so will the trials of earth be sharpest to you. Lastly, look within you. Into your own heart and observe what is there. Sin and self are still within. Ah, if you had no devil to tempt you, no enemies to fight you, and no world to ensnare you, you would still find in yourself evil enough to be a sore trouble for you. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Expect trouble then, but do not despond on account of it, for God is with you to help and to strengthen you. He has said, I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. That's important. I read that because we need to understand that that is part of being conformed to the image of Christ. Jesus said, if you were of the world, the world would love its own. Because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. But God gives not only plentifully, personally, provisionally, he gives purposefully. He gave Jesus so that you could, yes, escape hell, go to heaven, but also become more like Christ. The last thing we see, the last thing I'm going to say, not the last thing we see, the last thing I want to say about how God gives is that God gives perpetually. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, that life does not end at death. Eternal life. This is not just living forever, although it includes that, but it includes much more. First of all, it includes abundant life here and now. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundant. Now, some will say, as I referred to earlier, that that means health and wealth and just a life of ease. You know, you're a child of the king, so you ought to have the best of everything. It's not what, materially, that's not what God has in mind. If that were the case, then believers, many believers in India and the other parts of the third world are really missing it. The abundant life is not the abundantly material life. Although God has ordained that we have more than we need. For which we are going to give an account. We're stewards. But the abundant life is a life of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's a life characterized by faith, virtue, knowledge, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection. It's a life, as I said earlier, that is increasingly becoming more like Jesus. That's the abundant life that we have here and now. and which we will have for all eternity. Because someday, when we see Christ, we will be like Him completely. And then it'll just all be joy forever. And that's the second aspect of eternal life. It's abundant life with Christ forever and ever. More than we could ever imagine of all the good things that God has stored up for us. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Most of all, eternity face to face with Christ our Savior. Worshiping Him and enjoying Him forever and ever. You know, many people hear that and they think, boy, that's going to be boring, worshiping God forever. Trust me. Heaven will be anything but boring. This life begins when we trust Christ, and it is our eternal possession. Nothing can take it from us. Jesus said in John 10:27-28, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God gives perpetually, eternally. So what? So what that God gives personally and plentifully and provisionally? And purposefully and perpetually. How shall we then live? What difference should that make? Well, first of all, if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've not received His forgiveness, His eternal life, through repentance and faith in His Son, you need to do that today. It is a gift that is offered to all who will receive Him. A little bit later, we're going to be singing a hymn of response. Perhaps you would like to come and say, Pastor, I'd like to know more about this. Or Pastor, I do give my life to Christ, and I want this congregation to know that. Or I have given my life to Christ, and I want to follow Him in believer's baptism. But you need to trust Christ today. You need to stop presuming on the grace and the goodness of God. Secondly, examine your giving. Compare it to how God gives. Especially in the areas of giving purpose, personally and purposefully. How purposeful is your giving? How can you give more purposefully in particular? How can you make the gifts that you give really count? Well, you give what people really need. And one of the things that people need, everybody needs, is the gospel. Our world needs the gospel. We saw that video, heard the voice of Tom Eliff, who, by the way, is the president of the International Mission Board, the Southern Methodist Convention, talking about the billions of people in our world who don't even have, at this point, an opportunity to hear the gospel. That is the only reason we promote the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. It is that those who have not heard may have the opportunity to hear, to repent, and to believe on Christ. That more and more people will be in eternity with the Lord, exalting in Him and exalting Him and worshiping Him forever. Are you giving a purposeful gift to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering? Are you giving in the way that God gives, a sacrificial gift to this offering. How about sharing this little booklet that there's an announcement in the bulletin about? It's out on the table. The Real Christmas. Now, we only have 50 copies, so we're asking that you not take it unless you're really going to give it to somebody. Great presentation of the gospel, explanation of the real Christmas. Very well written, engaging. It's not that long. This afternoon or this week, when you go out for lunch, for dinner, you could leave this, again, with a very big tip. I mean a cash tip, all right? And I say again, never give a tract without a big tip. But it's a great little booklet. And there are others that you can share with people. This is a great season to give people the gospel. There are a lot of things you can do to emulate God's giving. Just do something. Do something that's going to matter, not just for time, but for eternity as well. Give your heart to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Give so that others can know Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your many, many, many gifts, but most of all for your gift of your Son. Father, I pray for people today who have resisted the gospel, to believe the gospel, to receive Christ, put their faith in Him and Him alone. Father, we pray that those of us who are trusting in Jesus would have a passion to make Him known, both in the way that we live and how we share Him with others. Father, we pray that you would pour out on this congregation, this church, Lord, your Spirit, that we may be a people who give as you have given. Father, we pray that you will help us to remember that we give because you have first given, that we love because you first loved us, and that all of our giving flows from the cross of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.